Similar to what Thomas said, the proverb says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a foolish man will despise wisdom and instruction. So with that being said, let's go to Proverbs 3. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. And my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So that's something that verse 2 is what we can consider a promise in the Bible. When we say every promise in the book is mine, verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So it's saying, keep the commandments, length of days and long life and peace in your life, and those things will be added unto you. So it's important to keep the commandments. Verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So that's another promise in verse 4. And saying, do these things, and keep the word and about thy neck, like something that's precious to you, like a necklace. So, when people have necklaces, usually something that maybe means something to them, or it's a symbolic of something in their life. So saying, keep it about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So inside of you and in your soul, which will you write the commandments and want to keep them. And it's saying, if you do these things, you'll find favor in the and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So not just in the sight of God, but also in man, in the general public. If you truly follow the word of God and do what he says and keep the commandments in your heart, you'll find favor in the sight of God, which is the most important part. But also, it promises us in the sight of man as well. So verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So that's... So what is like health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones? Well, your navel is your belly button. So that means like things that, like when people say they have get anxious or they get butterflies or they feel that, or they have guilt and they feel it in their gut and they feel these things. So it's health to thy navel. So that maybe these feelings of guilt or anxiety or fear or whatever's going on in your life, those things will just depart from you, because it'll be health to your navel. And marrow to thy bones. Marrow is defined as a soft substance in the cavities of the bones in which blood cells are produced, often taken as typifying strength and vitality. So marrow is a substance in your bones that types strength and vitality. So it's saying that there'll be health in your navel and also marrow in your bones, so it'll strengthen you along your journey, which is all throughout the Bible, and also what we read in Psalms 27, when it talks about deliverance and salvation, it says that it'll strengthen you, and it'll strengthen you along your journey, in your Christian journey, and just throughout your life in general. So verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. Now this is another example of, a verse about tithes and offerings. It says, honor him with your substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So that's why when we, when we get a check or we get paid or something happens, but when we increase, we give a portion of that to God. That's our offering. That's what we give to God. That's the tithes. And that's why we pay, part of the reason why we pay tithes is to give an offering unto God. To the first fruits of our increase. So whenever we increase, we should be also thinking about God and be grateful and give our portion to him, because all things come from him. He's our provider. So, in verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So that's all, that's another promise. But your barn, it says that if you honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase, verse 10 then says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So that's essentially saying, you know, if you honor the law of God, you know, God will honor you. God will honor your life. So if you take the time to give your tithes and offerings and the first fruits of your labor, your increase, if you take the time to, you know, give an offering and tithe and pay tithes and give an offering to God, He'll make sure that, you know, your barns are filled and, you know, metaphorically speaking, your barns are filled and your life is going well and even, that even you will benefit financially by giving your tithes. It may seem like, oh, you're giving away money, but God will, you know, replenish that and more because you've honored His word. So that's a promise in the Bible that you can claim. Verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. So now I ask you guys, who would despise chastening or correction?
Foolish man.
Exactly, Thomas. A foolish man. That's what Proverbs chapter 1 said. It says a foolish man will despise wisdom and instruction. And in verse 11, you know, he's pleading for you to, you know, not despise the chastening of the Lord or be weary of correction. So if you do despise and, you know, the chastening of the Lord and the weary of correction, that would make you foolish. And he's urging you not to be foolish and not to go that way. So verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. So it's saying that even when correction comes, sometimes it's hard to take, but correction, if someone corrects you, it's usually out of love. So like it says that He loveth who He correcteth, and He says that He correcteth the son, like a father to the son in whom He delighteth. So it's not saying the son that the father doesn't like, the son that the father, you know, just wants to make fun of, or the son that the father just has a problem with all the time. It's the son that the father delighteth in. That's the one He wants to correct. So, and that can even be true with, you know, like with your parents, or even if you disagree with them or whatever's going on, you know, they're telling you things and trying to correct you because they love you. Even if sometimes they might be wrong, and they might never say that they're wrong, but they can be wrong, but just understand that even if a situation like that comes up, that they're doing it from a place of love. They're not trying to correct you or chastise you or chasing you or correct you, you know, just to get on your nerves or just to annoy you. They're doing it because they believe that's the best, that's the best way that they can help you, So it's good to understand that when someone is maybe chastening you or correcting you, that they're doing it out of love. And it's good to understand that when, you know, disagreements arise. In verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So that's another promise. If you want to be happy, you know, seek wisdom and understanding. This is, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and getteth understanding. So if you're lacking happiness, or if that's something you're seeking, you should also seek wisdom and understanding, because then that promise is right there in the Bible that if you seek those things, you will be happy. In verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Come in. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. So, like the verses we just read is saying that wisdom and understanding are, you know, more valuable. Wisdom and understanding are more valuable than even precious gold or silver or metals, which is like which is things that we consider valuable, like money or these material things, like money or things that we can gain. They're not as valuable as having an understanding of the word. So it's important to have that understanding and realize how valuable it is. because sometimes we take it for granted, but the fact that we have access to the truth is such a blessing, especially in the last days where many people are deceived, but we have access to wisdom and understanding, so we should seek it, because it says the value is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So once again, it's promising happiness if you attain wisdom, if you seek wisdom and you gain wisdom and understanding. It's saying happy are those that retaineth her. So if you're seeking happiness, it's also important that you seek wisdom, because the Bible promises that once you getteth understanding, then happiness will also be there. All right, verse 20. By his knowledge, the depths... verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. So that to me is a really powerful verse, and that by wisdom hath he founded the earth. Everything we're standing on, everything in this world, everything that we're observing right now, everything that we're living right now, by wisdom hath he founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. So that is why, I've been wanting you guys to understand the supernatural power of wisdom, and why I've been talking about those quotes of Brother Branham saying, seek wisdom first, and those, and how wisdom itself, just having knowledge of the word, is supernatural, and having an understanding of it is supernatural, because it's by wisdom he hath founded the earth. It's not by speaking in tongues, it's not by prophecy, it's not by the other spirit, like the things that we may see as so great, but it's by wisdom and understanding that he established the earth and the heavens. So that's why I wanted to stress to you guys how supernatural wisdom can be, just knowing the word of God, and how important that is, and how much power there is in just having wisdom and understanding of the word. Because it's not about what looks flashy or what looks, but just you come to church and you really believe what's being said, and you apply it to your life, and you continue to learn and increase knowledge. Here, and the scripture said a wise man will hear and increase learning. So if you continue to do that, there's an infinite amount of power in that, and just being able to hear the word and receive it. So verse 20, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. So just like I was reading in Corinthians 12 earlier, and just like Brother Branham was talking about, he said seeking the best gifts first, and the best gifts, he said, were wisdom and knowledge. So verse 19, it says, by wisdom hath he founded the earth. Verse 20 says, by his knowledge, and the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop from the dew. So the creation of the earth and the establishment of the heavens is by wisdom and knowledge that all these things are, able to be and exist, by wisdom and knowledge. That's what we should constantly be seeking to attain. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. So it's saying that those things will be life to thy soul. And anyone with the new birth can tell you that wisdom is life to their soul, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the reading of the word. And we know that a wise man will hear and increase learning. So, of course, the wisdom and knowledge that you hear will increase your faith and increase learning, and it will make you wise. And that's how you achieve wisdom, is to hear and increase learning. Because it's hearing by the reading, by the word of God. That's how faith comes as well. So just to be in church and to actually hear and listen to what's going on, and not just to be distracted and here or there, or thinking about lunch or thinking about this or that, but to actually be in church and to hear and to or to be by yourself and reading your Bible and to really hear the Word of God or to really see what's going on and understand, you know, what the Scriptures are saying. So that's, it'll be life to your soul and grace to thy neck. In verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So, it's another reason why we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether or not, you know, we have an experience with God. Because that's also another promise in verse 25. You know, that the desolation of the wicked. But if you know that you're a believer and that, you know, you're covered by the blood, you don't have to worry about the desolation of the wicked because it doesn't apply to you. So that's a promise to both the wicked and a promise to the believer. The promise of the wicked is, you know, their desolation and destruction, but the promise to the believer is, you know, eternal life and, you know, life to thy soul and grace to thy neck and all those things. So, and the promise to the believer is that when it is time for the desolation of the wicked, you won't even have to worry about it because it won't apply to you. In verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. I really like that verse because it's saying that when you have an opportunity to do good, you should do it. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. So if you have something that you can do for someone that maybe they're lacking, or maybe they need help somewhere, or maybe, you know, anything that someone needs, if you're able to provide that for them, you should be willing and able to do it. So don't withhold, you know, a good thing from someone if you have the power to help them. You know. In verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. So it's saying that even if you have something that you can give to someone, don't even wait and say, well, maybe tomorrow, or maybe, you know, just do it right there. Whenever you have the power, whenever you have the ability to help someone, do it right there, because you may not get another chance, honestly. Many times in life where sometimes we're hesitant to do something or act on something, and it ends up, you know, coming back to bite us, because maybe we don't get that chance later. Maybe just to talk to someone, or just to share a meal with someone, or just the little things in life where sometimes we think, oh, we do this every day, or we do this every week, every month, you know, we get to do this and this and this. And sometimes you don't know if we'll get that chance again. And it's good to remember that, and so you don't take things for granted. So if you have the power to do something and to help or to be a blessing, you know, do it when you can. Do it right then, because you don't know if you have the chance tomorrow or the next week or whenever. So do a good thing or to do something when you're able to do it, and not to push it off and push it off and push it off, and eventually, you know, you lose it or you lose your opportunity. So don't miss your opportunity to do a good thing for God and for someone else. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. So devise not evil against thy neighbor. So that's very clear. You know, don't cause harm. Don't try to cause harm to other people. We should, especially as Christians, we should always be helping our neighbor and loving and honoring our neighbor, and even our enemies, the Bible says. So to devise evil against your neighbor would be a terrible thing. Even if it's someone you don't like, or you know you're not particularly fond of, you know, there's no reason to, you know, devise evil against them or to plot against someone or try to ruin someone's day or make it worse. We should always be looking to improve someone's life or improve someone's day or to be a blessing or to represent God in whatever we're doing. So verse 30, strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. So strive is like strive is usually like difficulty. So or conflict or disagreement. So just don't strive. So strive not with the man if you have done thee no harm. So you know, just don't cause problems where there aren't problems. So he's already done you no harm. So there's no reason need to strive with him. Verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. So that's another promise, that his secret is with the righteous. So the secrets of the word and the secrets of, you know, the end time message and everything that's happening in our lives, those secrets are with the righteous, and God has promised to reveal those things to us. So there's a revelation of something. Maybe something in the word you don't understand, or maybe something in the word that maybe you hear about, you hear it preached, and it just hasn't come to you yet. Know that the promise in the Bible is that his secret is with the righteous. So whatever secrets, whatever things are hidden in the word, they can be revealed to you. If you have the right attitude and you understand the promise that he's given you. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So once again, these are more promises, and we need to constantly look out for what are the promises in the Bible. What is the Bible telling us? What are the guarantees? So the guarantees, starting from verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. So the house of the wicked will be cursed, and so that's a promise for the wicked. So if you're not the wicked, you don't have to worry about that. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. So wherever you are, he'll bless you if you are the just. I mean, you know, we're just, you know, by him, not by ourselves, but by him and what he did for us. And there, verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners. So I think we've discussed before that scorners are people who are just, you know, negative and always want to cause problems, always want to have something negative to say, or want to, you know, scold someone for doing so, or for any little thing, or just constant people who just constantly complain, people who are very neurotic and just constantly complain about things. Those people will be scorned. Like, you know, the Bible even says you reap what you sow. So the scorners, what happens to the scorners? They will be scorned. And it goes on to say, but he will giveth grace unto the lowly. The lowly are like, you know, it says, the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. So the lowly, those who make themselves humble, you know, he'll exalt them and he'll raise them up. And verse 35, finally, the wise shall inherit glory. So what does a wise man do?
Listen to God.
Yeah, exactly. Hear and increase learning. And then, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And what do foolish people do?
Not listening to God.
Exactly. So there's promises like this all throughout Proverbs and all throughout the Bible. So we need to distinguish which promises are which, and which ones apply to us and which ones don't, and what, who and what they apply to. So it's important to remember that. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. God bless you. You're dismissed.